Greetings, everyone. This is a new clicker. There it goes. Okay. Opening passage, I'd like to turn to Mark 4, verse 35 and 38. And it says, "In the same day, when the even was come, and he said unto them, Let us pass over unto the other side. When they had sent away the multitude, they took him, even as he was in the ship. There were also with him other little ships. And there arose a great storm of wind, and the waves beat into the ship, so that it was now full. And he was in the hinder part of the ship, asleep on a pillow, and they awake him, and say unto him, Master, carest thou not that we perish? And he arose and rebuked the wind, and said unto the sea, Peace, be still. And the wind ceased, and there was a great calm. And he said unto them, Why are you so fearful? How is it that you have no faith? And they feared exceedingly, and said one to another, What manner of man is this, that even the wind and the sea obey him?" This is going to be the core of the message, talking about trust in Yahweh. First, I'd like to get into the atmosphere of what's going on in this this passage. One thing that's really, really interesting about learning about the Bible is understanding what's going on around you. You kind of add a lot to what's happening. So it says they passed over the other side of Eden, which means they were going across the sea. This is actually the Sea of Galilee. And the destination was the country of Gadarenes. I got this map off Google. See where Gadara is? That's where the Gadarenes was. So they were probably sailing from maybe Magdala or Tiberias or Capernaum. He came a lot from Capernaum a lot. So they were probably sailing over to Gadara. This is, in fact, a picture that was taken. This is actually looking towards Magdala. So kind of gives you a little bit of what was actually happening in this environment. So if you look at what was just happening, there was a great storm in this passage. You think about what's happening here. The men were thinking that they were sinking. And if you look at the people that were actually in this boat, most of them were probably fishermen. Simon Peter, Andrew's brother, James, the son of Zebedee, and John, his brother, were all fishermen by trade. So you think about a good fisherman, they probably know how to handle a boat. So at least one of these men was in the boat, because in Luke 8, verse 22, it says, which is a sister passage to this verse, it says that Yahshua was in the boat with his disciples. So I'd imagine at least one of these guys was in the boat. So you got a big storm, you got at least one of these fishermen in the boat, and fishermen know how to handle a boat, so it must have been a really, really big storm. So this is the environment of what we're thinking of when we see this passage. So in fear, these guys must have been really afraid because of this huge storm. They woke Yahshua and said, save us. They were afraid of what was happening. They thought they were going to die because of this huge storm that they probably have never seen before in their lives. And Yahshua wakes up very calmly and just says, "Peace, be still." And what he says to them, I like to kind of focus upon and bring into our lives, is he says, "Why are you so fearful? How is it that you have no faith?" See, when Yahshua spoke this, he didn't understand why they had the fear. You think about it, he was with them. They should have had the faith and trust in him, that all the things would have worked out for them, and they should have had their trust in him instead of thinking about the storm that was going on around them. He rebuked them for this because of their lack of faith. And I kind of like to, in this passage, talk about the storms that we all have in us, and kind of use the lesson of the storm that these men were in, these fishermen were in, and kind of see how we can apply that to our own lives and storms in our own lives. When you think about, an analogy to a storm, it's basically something that you're going through right now, some sort of turmoil, some sort of problem or challenge that you have. I'm sure we all have some sort of challenge. If you're alive, you have problems. Everyone's got problems, whether it's financial, whether it's relationship, whether it's job-related. I'm sure everyone has good days and bad days, but I'd say for the most of us, everyone has some sort of thing that's going on in their life that they would like to have better. You may even be thinking about it right now. It may be something that's, if you've got, for me, for instance, if I don't have enough money in my paycheck and I know I've got my rent coming up, it's like, you're always thinking about that. It's always something in the back of your mind. And then we not only have the personal storms that we have to deal with, we also have the things going on around us, the bad things like our national storm. I'm sure most of us see our freedoms being attacked all the time. It's really kind of sad because I do like a lot of reading on freedom and history and stuff like that. And the more I read, the more I get depressed because I realize just how much we've lost in the last 100 years. And then you see like morality being attacked too. You see that every day. Our politicians seem to be decreasing our what we had in the past seems to be going out the door. So we have our own problems, and then we have the world problems, which are serious. I don't want to downplay the world problems. Violence and wickedness seems to be increasing, while morality seems to be decreasing. So you kind of see this balance going in the opposite direction. But what I'd like for us not to do is focus so much on the storm. The reason being is because focusing too much on the things that are going on around you can lead to a lack of faith, because you focus so much on those things around you and you think that's all there is to the world. That's all there is. All you see is a storm, but you forget the Savior that's with you. So I like to kind of change that focus. You know, the disciples, they didn't focus on Yahshua, and I don't want us to do either. I want us to focus upon a higher power. I want us to help us change our focus, not always on what's wrong, but I want to help us to focus more on Yahweh and what he does through Yahshua, his son. Because I think that if we can change our focus in that aspect, we can think of life better. Because even though there's bad things going on around us, knowing that there is a higher power in control can really help calm ourselves, our spirit. So the first lesson I like to talk about in this passage of the boat is the lesson of remember who you're in the boat with. The disciples were in the boat with who? Yahshua. He was the son of Yahweh. He had authority from Yahweh. He could at any instant could have called down a host of angels to rescue him, to rescue them. And just with just one word, he could have called all these angels to assistance. He could have even brought them back to life. Let's say that they would have all drowned. Then he could have said with one word, said their names and said arise. He could have done all these things. And same thing too with us. Remember that we are in the same boat with Yahshua. You know, we are a part of Yahshua. He is not going to not be with us. He's going to rescue us whenever we need help. One nation that always seemed to be forgetting Israel, I just gave the answer away. One nation that kept on forgetting Yahweh was Israel. Israel, for some reason, even though they saw miraculous things happening all the time around them, they were constantly forgetting what Yahweh had done for them. Anytime there was some sort of bad incident, and I don't want to downplay what they went through. It's easy for me to say this, that they should have had more faith, or they should have done that while I'm sitting here comfortably in a nice warm area with my belly filled with food. They did have challenges. They didn't know if they were going to eat, but they did see Yahweh around us. They saw the miraculous wonders, and they should have realized that he was going to help them. They should have realized that he didn't lead them out just to destroy them. You know, they were the ones who saw the plagues in Egypt. They saw the parting of the Red Sea. And even that in itself, the Ten Commandments, the movie, did a pretty good depiction of that. But even then, I'm sure Hollywood could never portray what it actually looked like. I mean, just imagining walking through this Red Sea, dry land with water all around you, just amazing to even think of. Manna from heaven, look up in the sky and, oh, there's your food, for the day. I mean, how amazing would that be? And then many more things, but they still forgot Yahweh and all the things that he did. The example I like to look through is Numbers 13. Israel was promised the promised land. Yahweh said, oh, I'm going to give you this land of Canaan. And so Yahweh told them that they should send out 12 spies. I thought this was a good idea. And they brought back a report. And here's the report, Numbers 13, verse 27 and 31. And it says, and he told him and said, we came unto the land whither thou sent us, and surely it flowed with milk and honey. And this is the fruit of it. Nevertheless, the people be strong that dwelt in the land. And the cities are walled and very great. And moreover, we saw the children of Anak there. The Amalekites dwell in the land of the south, and the Hittites and the Jebusites and the Amorites dwell in the mountains, and the Canaanites dwell by the sea and by the coast of Jordan. Now, just pausing here, they're basically saying that the nation is surrounded by enemies. So everywhere you look, there's some sort of nation or some sort of enemy. Going on, and Caleb stilled the people before Moses and said, "Let us go up at once and possess it, for we are well able to overcome it." But the men that went up with him said, "We are not able to go up against the people, for they are stronger than we." You got 10 men who brought a bad report. You got Caleb, and then you'll find, I'll show later what Joshua said, who brought a good report. So the people had a choice. They got two reports. They could have chosen the one over the other. But the people chose to instead go back to Egypt. They were constantly always wanting to go back to Egypt. There is almost like a comfort zone for them. Even though it was horrible and they knew that it was slavery, it was comfort for them. They knew what to expect. It wasn't hard. It was easier. Joshua, like I said, tried to persuade the people in Numbers 14, verse 7 and 9. It says, "The land which we pass through to search it is an exceeding good land. If Yahweh delight in us, then he will bring us into this land and give it to us, a land which flows with milk and honey. Only rebel not you against Yahweh, neither fear you the people of the land, for they are bread for us, their defense is departed from them, and Yahweh is with us, fear them not." But even though Joshua was their general, you would have thought that maybe they would have listened to him, but they decided not to, and they forgot how amazing Yahweh was. Oops, I forgot which page I'm on. There we go. They forgot his promises, and I don't want us to go this way to forget what Yahweh can do. You think about what Yahweh has done for you in your life. Even, actually, I wrote an article this past Restoration Times talking about thankfulness for Yahweh. And I was just thinking about, when I was writing it, just the stuff that we get for free. You know, when we have got breath, we've got eyesight, we've got ears, we've got all their senses that we have, and we've got the ability to think and to reason, to actually know Yahweh. And that's something that Yahweh has given us free of charge. I mean, the atmosphere that we have, it's a livable planet. So many things that Yahweh has done for us. Even thinking of what Yahweh can do, he's not only done this, he's created all the universe, which for him is not a hard task. Anything that he has done is not something that, you know, is difficult that we would have. Reflect and think upon these things. You know, Yahweh is bigger than our problems. You know, I know that someone once said that every person's load is the hardest or something. Everyone's load that they pull is the hardest. Every person, you know, I've heard someone say that you take your problems, you put them in a hat, and you pull them out randomly, you'll want to have your problems back or something. Everyone thinks that their own problems are the hardest, but realize that Yahweh is the one who is in control of all these things. He does sometimes give us these problems, these challenges, but he doesn't so that we can grow from them. He doesn't do it so that he can torture us or destroy us. One thing that Israel should have done, which I think we should do as well, is when we're in these situations, when we think that troubles are all around us and we don't know what to do, I think that we should pause and think. There's a thing called pattern interrupt, and what it is, it's an interrupting of what our normal response is and changing it. So I think that we should, when these negative things come at us, when these problems come at us, just pattern interrupt what we typically do, which is maybe freak out about it. So the Psalms actually use this a lot. It's a musical notation called Selah, and they use it in Psalms like 3, 4, 7, 9, 21, 24, and many, many more. You probably have read this and not realized what it is, but what it is the reader is supposed to pause on the words that are spoken. You know, to kind of read this passage or hear this passage, just to kind of think about what was just said. I think sometimes we go through life very fast, and we don't always get a chance to pause and think and reflect. And this is something for us to do too, is when these things come at us, reflect on who Yahweh is. Think about what he can do. You've got biblical examples. You've got all the things that he's done. Then you've got examples in history. And then you've got examples in your own life. You know, there are miracles that happen all around us. Just life itself is a miracle. Reflect on who Yahweh is and stop thinking just about your own problems and think about who the one who is who can help you. reflect on what Yahweh has done and what he has promised. Promises of Yahweh. They're all throughout the Bible. I searched in Google and said promises of course, G-O-D, I had to put in there. But if you look up promises of Yahweh in Google, it'll come like a huge list. You got some in Psalms. Psalm 50, verse 15 says, "And call upon me in the day of trouble, and I will deliver thee, and thou shalt glorify me." Psalms 50, verse 15. Wait. Wrong button. Psalm 34, verse 7. "The angel of Yahweh encamps round them that fear him and delivers them." Psalms 103, verse 17. "But the mercy of Yahweh is from everlasting to everlasting upon them that fear him, and his righteousness unto children's children." These are promises from Yahweh. Yahweh does not lie. He doesn't say something and then just takes it back. You know, if Yahweh says he's going to do something, he's going to do it. So you can rest assured this is a strong rock to put your faith and trust in. To know that if Yahweh has said it, the other thing too is to realize that just because it's promised by Yahweh doesn't mean it's going to happen now. I know a lot of people like to get this prosperity doctrine and think that all these blessings and great things are going to happen to us now. That's not always the case. Just because Yahweh promises it to us doesn't mean it's going to be in our time. It's in his time. It's when he decides when it's going to happen. So you're going to have to trust that he's going to give his promises in his own time, but he will fulfill his promises. The second lesson I'd like to get from Mark 4 is have trust and believe. Hebrews 11, verse 6, it says, "But without faith it is impossible to please him. For he that comes to Elohim must believe that he is, and he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him." We have to believe to be able to please him. We have to believe that he exists. We have to believe that he can do the things that he can do. We have to believe that Yahweh has given authority to Yahshua. We have to have unwavering conviction. And just because maybe you falter from time to time doesn't mean that you don't have belief. We're all going to have problems, and we're all going to stumble sometimes, but you just got to get up and keep on going and just keep on believing that, you know, Yahweh is there for you. The disciples, they lacked faith, and Israel, they lacked faith. But we can learn from their examples. You know, the great thing about stories and events in history is you can take them and you can see what they did and see if they did something right and you can do it, or you can see what they did wrong and you can go the opposite direction. So I like for us to learn from these examples and increase our faith and go the opposite direction of where these men went. Some things that do hurt our faith. We need to have trust and believe, but things that hurt our faith is our poor influences around us. I know some people can't help it. I know sometimes our coworkers are kind of, thankfully I have good coworkers. But some of you, I'm sure out there, can think of some coworkers. I worked in some secular jobs, and there are some coworkers that I would rather have not have dealt with. I just didn't like being around them, just because they were just, I don't know, just felt bad. I don't know. But try to get away from that as much as you can. Don't willingly go towards it. Get away from it as much as you can. It creates almost a sickness in the spirit. I don't know if you know what I mean, but you get around too many people that are just so negative and just like always constantly giving you problems. You just feel kind of grungy inside. You just want to take a shower afterwards. Other things that kind of hurt us too is news. It's good to be informed. I like to, you know what's going on. But if you think about news, all it is crisis to crisis to crisis to crisis. It's all it is. You watch the news and it's the same news program over and over, rehashed over and over. It's the same. They just talk about it all the time. Focuses solely upon negativity. You know, how often do you hear in the news about the 1,000 successful flights you had today? No, you hear about the one where everyone died or something. You know, you don't hear about the good things. You don't hear about the successful marriages and how Bob and Jan, you know, how they had these challenges and they pulled together and they had the successful marriage. They've been working with it for 60 years. No, you hear about the drama. You hear about the people on the stars and their problems and how everything's going on. And it's funny because we seem to be attracted to the negative. There's a reason why they have news like that, because we as humans are attracted to the negativity. You know, you pass a field of flowers and it's just like, oh, okay, that's kind of cool. But you pass a car accident and you're just like, you know, you just like can't keep your eyes off it. Problems are not going to go away. Trials are always going to be here. It says in the Bible that tribulation, many saints will be killed. And, you know, life really is unfair at times. And even evil will sometimes prosper, even though good seems to go unnoticed. But, you know, we have to believe that Yahweh is going to work things out. We can't keep focusing upon all the bad things. You got to focus more upon the good things. And realize that Yahweh is truly in control. He is the one that can do anything he wants. One passage, I didn't put it on here, but this is actually one of my favorite passages. It's in 2 Chronicles 7, verse 14. It says, "If my people were to call by my name, shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven and will forgive their sin and will heal their land." You know, I know things are bad in this country. I know things are bad in the world, but I still think that we have to have this trust in Yahweh, that he can turn things around. Maybe we're in the last days, maybe we're not, but I think we always have to have that trust in Yahweh and not always focus upon all the bad things that are happening. Think more about what Yahweh has done, what Yahweh can do, and believe that he can do these things. Romans 8, verse 28 says, "And we know that all things work together for good to them that love Elohim, to them who are called according to his purpose." I believe that we are these people. We're the ones that do love Yahweh. And we want to do his will. We want to, you know, please him. We want to do things according to his purpose. But we have to believe that this is true. You know, we can't just read these words and just think, okay, that's kind of nice. You know, that's a cool little saying. I'll put that on Facebook and everyone's going to like it. We have to actually believe it, you know, believe that it's true and think that in ourselves, no matter what anyone else says, we have to believe that to be true. And to believe that all things will work out for good. That those who love Yahweh, which I believe is us, we must love Yahweh and we must trust in Yahweh. You know, believe that Yahweh is in control of your life and all the things that are going on around us. He can stop the storm in your life if he chooses. You know, maybe he will, maybe he won't, but he can do those things. He can stop the national storms if he desires. You know, if you wanted, I always like history when I read about these great armies that are coming against each other, and then there's this huge storm that happens, and it's like, oh, they can't fight. It's just amazing to me because it's like, oh, all these nations think they're great and powerful, but Yahweh sends this little rainstorm. He just thwarts everybody. So Yahweh can do anything he wants despite all the bad things that seem to be happening around us. He can do all things, and he is the one in control, not man. He is the one in control. We need to trust him. We need to trust in Yahshua, his son, and know that no matter what happens, despite the horrific things that do happen around us, that all things will be made right by Yahweh. And may Yahweh bless you.